Welcome to Crossroads Connection. I'm Andy George, your host and the senior pastor here at Crossroads Fellowship Church. Hey, before we go any further, make sure that you go ahead and subscribe to this podcast. Make sure that you like it. Make sure you share it. Make sure you leave us a comment as well. We really appreciate all those. And we do value and appreciate every one of you who are our listeners. And we love that you're with us on this journey. We're now in season 2, episode 1. And this episode is coming out of a sermon that I preached called A Common Table. And I cannot wait for you to hear this message. I think it's going to challenge you. You know, when I preach this message, we as a church are going through Paul's epistles. We started in the book of Romans, and we're working through the 13 letters, the 13 epistles that he has throughout this whole year under the theme of reach. And so this sermon that I preached came at a very, very timely, needed spot in our church, and I believe in our country as well. I believe it's going to inspire you. I think it's going to encourage you. It might stretch you a little bit. It might challenge you quite a bit. But the premise of this is that we've got a table, and this table that we are invited to is the kingdom. Well, what's happened is that people have taken their chair and have left the kingdom table and have started forming their own tables. And this message is all about calling us back to that table so that we can have conversations, so that we can actually be the united body of Christ, everyone with a different function, everyone with a different angle and a different approach and a different purpose. But we need you. We need you at the table, basically, is what I'm saying. So again, I hope you enjoy this episode, episode 1, A Common Table. So let's go ahead and jump into the sermon that I preached at Crossroads Fellowship called A Common Table.
You know, we can navigate through a divided nation, and right now we're very divided. But what the nation can't handle is a divided church. We can't be divided. Doesn't mean we agree, and I'm going to explain what that means in a minute. It doesn't mean we all have to think the same and look the same and act the same and have the same core structures and the same political beliefs. That's not at all what common ground and a common table is speaking of. Today, for the next few moments, I'm going to deep dive us into Romans 12. My initial title for this morning was Marks of a True Mature Christian, and that's going to be my second point. I kind of step back to a common table. One, I want to just get us at the same place, at this table here. And so the first thing I want to talk about is what is this table? And the first thing I want to say is simply this, and this is a solid truth, and that is that we need each other at this table. We need each other at this table. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, it starts off, and I want you just to hear these words. In fact, in verses 3 to 8, Paul begins to break down the need of why we need each other at this table. He starts off this way, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." Watch this now in verse 4. Watch how many times he says this kind of phrase. "For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let them use them." In other words, use the gifts God has given you. And then Paul just makes a short list. It says prophecy in proportion to our faith. If service, in serving. In teaching, the one who teaches. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Three things real quickly under my first point is simply this. We've got to recognize that at this table, the kingdom of God table, that nobody is better or more deserving of grace than anybody else. At this table requires humility. He speaks of humility. That there's nobody in this room or watching online that deserves to sit at the kingdom of God table more than anybody else. That we've got to treat each other with respect and humility. One of my favorite statements that I so love is that at the foot of the cross is equal ground. I want you to hear this, because too often we don't act like this. There is nobody better than anybody else at the foot of the cross. All of us, every person that's ever been born except for Jesus, needed saving and needed grace and needed mercy. At this table requires a level of humility to know that I'm going to sit at a table with somebody that you may or may not feel deserves to be at that table. That the kingdom of God, his church, his bride, is beautifully, wonderfully diverse. And it's at one table. Listen, if you don't think other people should be at the same table as you are in a world of shock when you step into eternity. And when you step into eternity and see every tribe and every tongue and every nation, and guess what? In eternity, there is one banquet table in eternity. One. It only speaks of one. There's not like a kid's table somewhere. There's not a table for the rich, a table for the poor. There's one table for all people to sit at. And we're called to actually practice that today. Now, at this table, right here at this table, at Jesus' table, there's room for everybody. And everybody's welcome, and we need you at the table. You know, at this table, we are one body. But we have different functions. It speaks of diversity. Let me share with you just personally what I've seen happen over the last year that as a pastor has just broken my heart to see. See, instead of sitting at one table and all coming to the table, even with our differences, right? Even with our disagreements and our differences, the way that it's supposed to be is that we're at this table, all different backgrounds, all different kind of beliefs, all different sides of the aisle on politics and on it goes. All these things come here, different denominations in Christianity all come to this table. That's what it's supposed to be. And we sit here and we pray with each other, we encourage each other, we have tough conversations with each other and love, like we have all those conversations. But what's happened is this. People don't want to sit at the table with other people. So what they do is they say, I don't want to sit at the table with somebody who voted for Biden. So I'm going to take my chair. I'm going to take my chair, and I'm going to come over here, and I'm going to make my own table with all Republicans. And this is where I'm going to sit. And then, let's not leave anybody out because the Democrats do the same thing. Well, I don't want to sit at that table either. I'm going to come over here, and I'm going to create my own table with all people who believe the same way I believe. Both are Christian. Both go to the same church. But there's division. And then it gets worse. Well, I want to go to a church where everybody looks like me and thinks like me, so I'm going to take my white self and my white family, and we're going to go to a white church. A church where the pastor doesn't speak about injustices because I'm tired of hearing about it. A church we don't have to deal with reconciliation. A church with everybody in my same financial bracket that looks just like me, where the pastor says exactly what I want to hear, I'm going to sit at that church. And of course, not to leave anybody out, you got black families that do the same thing. I'm going to go to a black church because they understand, they get it. White churches don't understand, white people don't understand. So I'm going to go to a church where everybody looks like me. Nowhere in Scripture is that biblical. I only got four chairs, otherwise I could do this all morning. First service actually clapped when I said that. They were like, oh, thank God, because this is getting real uncomfortable real quick. It was the same idea. I'm going to take my chair, and I'm going to go to a church that just tickles my ears and just tells me what I think is right. So instead of having one table with beautiful diversity and gift sets, what happens is that we have different tables that serve a selfish function, and we have many bodies with dysfunction. The Bible church has called us to one table of unity, to one table. It's not unity under a denomination, by the way. It's not unity under being non-denominational, Baptist, Assemblies, Presbyterian. That's not the unity it's speaking of. It's not white, black, Hispanic. It's not Republican, Democratic, Independent, it's not rich or poor. This table is under the banner of who Jesus is. It's his kingdom table. And if we're going to sit at this table, which we're all called to sit, it requires maturity. It requires us to not act like kindergartners and take our ball and go home because somebody offended us. And yet we see that happen all the time. Somebody offended me, somebody said something I don't like, so I'm going to take my chair, I'm going to take my finances, I'm going to go to another church. And so instead of a beautiful table that's in Scripture, we've got all these dysfunctional tables. We're called to be in one. As your pastor, I told you early this last year, if not at the end of last year, that we will not allow politics and race divide this church. And I stand by that, and we will not allow that to happen. And in Christianity, right now you got churches that are Republican, you got churches that are Democratic. You know what broke my heart the other day? Somebody shared with me a video. It's only a 30-second clip or so, about a minute clip. I'm not going to tell you who it was the video of because it's disgusting. It was a pastor of a large church calling his church to the altar to pray down evil and harm to people who didn't vote the way that that church thought they should have voted. He literally was praying for curses and harm and death to fall on the people that were voted in. This is real. This is happening. It's happening in our own city. This is not the way it's meant to be. We're meant to be at one table under the banner of Jesus. And here's why. We need you at the table. And we need your gifts at this table. So instead of being offended and taking your chair and just going to another church, because sooner or later you're going to leave that church and go to another church because that church offends you, what it is, it's maturity to come back to this table and actually sit at this table and actually have conversations and pray for each other and honor one another and truly love one another despite our differences. And this is the picture of the table. We need you. See, we all have gifts at this table. It speaks of servanthood, doesn't it? Paul said, we all have gifts. He lists them. He says, one of them is prophetic. We need the gift of prophecy. We need the gift of godly biblical prophecy, not crazy prophecy. Let me be clear on that one. There's plenty of crazy stuff out there. As a pastor, quite honestly, I'm waiting for a day of reckoning to come on all the people who prophesied that were ignorant prophecies. We have serving. You come at the table and it says people who should serve. Teaching is another one. It keeps listing them. It says encouragement. See, this is all the stuff that is needed at this table. Encouragement, generosity in a lot of ways. The gift of leadership, another one. The gift of mercy, as it called it. The gift of mercy. See, what Paul is saying is that we are one body in Jesus. We have different functions. We all look different. We have different functions. We act differently. But we're needed at one table. That's why I love this church so much. I love what I get to see every Sunday at this church. We got a lot of work to do, church. We're not even close to being done. But more than anything, what I want from this church is to see a picture of heaven every single Sunday. I want to see people from every place, every walk of life, coming here, not because they're comfortable, not because I'm tickling your ears, but because you're willing to be mature enough to sit at the table to see the kingdom of God move in our city, not your kingdom and not my kingdom. That requires true Christianity. I want to walk us through what that looks like for the next few minutes. There's a list that Paul speaks about in Romans 12. I want to break it down for you very, very clear. See, what I love about preaching out of Paul's epistles is that you really can just read it and let Paul just kind of do the preaching for you because it's so amazing and it's so true and it's so accurate. But here, if you want to know what is required to come to this table, Let me tell you what true mature Christians look like. Some of these you're going to think you do pretty well in. Some of these you're going to probably say ouch a little bit too. And if anything happened like this morning, it got quieter and quieter and quieter and quieter and quieter. And that's okay. Marks of a true Christian. Romans chapter 12. Another way of saying this is, what does your life say to others about what you believe? And I could even say, what does your social media say to others about who you believe? So what this is talking about is your life and my life, what we're saying, what we're doing, does it match up with the marks of Christianity? And if it doesn't, may the Holy Spirit himself convict, not me. And may he tweak our hearts and our lives so that we can actually line up with Scripture, because this world needs you. And it needs me to be around one table of the kingdom. So here we go. Write these down. The first one, love and honor. Mark of a true Christian, a mature believer, is love and honor. Romans chapter 12, verse 9 to 10, it says it this way, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with brotherly affection. One of my favorite verses is next. Listen to this. If we would just get this one right, imagine what would happen. Not only in the church, but in your family and your marriage. Here we go. Outdo one another in showing honor. Isn't that good? See, the goal isn't just to get along. The goal isn't just to like somebody. The goal isn't just to put up with people in the same church. The goal is to actually love one another to the point that you are actually outdoing each other and showing each other honor. That is what love is like. Again, just imagine for a moment. I mean, put that in your own marriage, for goodness sakes. You want to know the secret to a good, happy marriage? Outdo each other in honor. When your spouse honors you, look back and say, I'm going to outdo that honor. What a great, good competition that is. And then again, how about amongst each other? The next one is this. There's a bunch of them, so I'm going to keep going. The next one is to serve the Lord with zeal. Serve him with zeal. Romans 12:11. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Again, a mark on who we are is just to serve him. Church, that goes inside the church. It goes outside the church. Serve the Lord. We need you to serve. Not me. Serve the Lord. So each one of these have got a good gut question that are obvious. The gut question is for the first one, am I actually living a life of honor, out honoring somebody else? This one is very simple. Am I serving the Lord? Where and how am I serving him? And am I using the gifts that God gave me to actually serve him and move his kingdom forward, or am I just using them to make a living? Guess what? You can do both. God's wired you a certain way. He's given you passions a certain way. Use them, but use them to serve the Lord. The next one is this. Next one. He says it this way. He says, the mark of a true Christian, mature Christian, is one that is hopeful, patient, and prayerful. Hope, patience, and prayer. In verse 12, it says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and be constant in prayer. As we look on the course of this year, are you looking on it hopeful? Are we looking on it in fervent prayer? Are we looking at what's happening in the world around us, and is it getting us down to the point that we've lost all hope? Listen, listen, we have hope. And again, the hope is simply around this table. It's not around anybody, it's around this table. Can I just encourage you with a real cheesy statement, but it's just really true? An elephant and a donkey did not die on a cross for you. It was a lamb. Come on, that's a good cheesy Jesus thing, right? But it's true. I know. They're like, oh my gosh. But that's true. Nobody you voted for on either side would give his life for you on a cross. None of them would. In fact, the person next to you, according to Paul last week, they probably wouldn't either. But Paul said that Jesus, while we were sinners, went to the cross. So we have hope in that. And are we fervent in prayer? The next one is this. It's generosity and hospitality. A mark, again, a mark of just a true believer is being generous and being hospitable. Right? These aren't overly like life-altering, shattering new concepts. But the problem with that, church, is that so often we miss just the basics of Christianity, that we can't even get these right, and we want to do all this. We just got to get these right. These are the marks of maturity. In Romans 12:13, it says, contribute to the needs of the saints and show hospitality. Find a need and fill it. Be generous. For those that can be generous in your time, in your finances, in your skill sets, be generous. Like, find a need, fill it, and be hospitable. Just be hospitable. Be kind to one another. Again, right, these aren't like major brand new theological findings that some seminary found. These are just basics of Christianity that we've seen this last year that churches can't get right. Because if we had these right, we would not be so divided as we are this morning. Next one is this, is bless and do not curse. Apparently that pastor never read Romans 12. Bless and do not curse. It's real easy just to start cursing people, wishing harm on somebody else. But what happens when you bless those who persecute you? In fact, in 14, verse 14, it says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Those who have done you harm, those who have done you wrong, those who have risen up against you. Listen, can I just tell you something? Just listen. Jesus told us that the world's going to hate you because of him. That's not a surprise. Jesus told us that in this world we're going to have problems. It's not a surprise. You can't handle or you can't control what those other people might do to you. But you can control how you respond. If you found yourself over this last month praying for the harm of another individual, that's wrong. That is not biblical. We're supposed to bless those, even our enemies, and not curse. Next one is this, F. In my notes, it's F, if you're paying attention. It's empathy. Empathy. He words it this way, rejoicing and weeping. It says, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Let me just make it very clear about the kind of church this is. It was so discouraging over this last year to get emails and conversations from people who call themselves Christians telling me, Andy, why do we keep talking about racism and fear and hate? We got it. You said it on a Sunday, we're done, move on. Andy, the church should not be speaking so much against injustices. We got it, we're gonna move on. Okay, let me just be clear, you got it, because you're not the one that's up at night wounded and crying with your family over hurts and pains that happened to you because of the color of your skin. My Bible tells me that when people in our congregation are weeping, we are to weep with them. And when people are celebrating, we are to celebrate with them. The reason why, when things happen in this world, we pause and we stop and we address it, even if you're sick of hearing it, maybe it's because you don't realize what it's doing to somebody else. And maybe it's because you're not mature enough in your faith to understand what it means to weep with somebody who weeps. And what would happen if you did? Doesn't even mean you have to agree with why they're weeping. It doesn't even mean that you have to be on like that side of the camp and get all, it just means that you see a brother or sister hurting and weeping, you should weep with them. It's a mark of Christianity. It's a mark of maturity. To be able to say, I might not agree. I might not even agree with the reason why you're weeping. I might even think you're totally wrong, but you are breaking and hurting. And so as your brother or sister, I'm going to come alongside you and recognize, I don't know what you're going through, but my heart is breaking for you. Again, we can't get that straight, and yet we got people that want to leave because we're not deep enough. You kidding me? How about you get that straight first, then we can go as deep as you want to go. Marks of Christianity. I told you it was going to get quieter in here. The next one is this, it's humility and harmony. All of this requires living in harmony with one another. Verse 16, it says this way. It says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Right? It requires humility. It requires harmony. It takes humility just to take yourself off of whatever perch you think you're on and have harmony with somebody that's hurting. And by the way, this goes beyond just racial stuff. It goes way beyond that. It's in every facet of our life. Just to honor each other with humility. To live in harmony with each other. The next one is this. It talks about living with honor. To live a life marked by honor. And here's what honor is, according to Paul in Romans 12:17. Repay no evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. Listen, there's a lot of evil in this world. There are so many times that I write a post and never submit it. Anybody else like that? There are so many times I'll write an email or I'll write a social media post just to get it out of my system and I just delete the whole thing. It's called control and maturity and trying to be biblical. We'd be far better off if people would listen more than they speak or tweet. If we would just listen. If we would just learn how to just control that and honor each other. To truly honor each other. The next one is peaceful. It talks about living in peace. And I love this one. And I love how Paul worded it. He says in verse 18, if possible, right? So there's a possibility you're not going to have peace. We know that. But if possible, so far as it depends on who? You. Live peaceably with all. I love how that's worded. Because there's times where the other person just wants to fight. The other person wants to not be at peace. That's why it says that if it's at all possible with you, you be the one that is the peacekeeper. Blessed are the peacekeepers. Blessed are the peacekeepers. Not blessed are the wicked. Not blessed are the violent. Not blessed are the ones that want to cause fights. Listen, arguing and fighting and being contentious, those aren't spiritual gifts, by the way. Pieces. Living at peace. As much as you can do it. And again, there's two sides. There's the other side of people who don't want peace at all. And all they want to do is fight. You know what I've seen happen this last year? I've seen really good believers in Jesus remove themselves from this table because they've gotten into a fight with somebody that's ignorant. And standing up for what is right, which is good, they've gotten down into the weeds to argue and fight, and what's happened is that they've kind of removed themselves from that table. Now, I'm not talking about they're not saved anymore, they're not going to hell, right? It's not that they've lost their salvation, but they've removed themselves from that unity table because all they want to do is just fight. I've seen so much this last year. And again, I hope you understand, I'm not talking about just crossers, I mean just in general. So many Christians under the banner of Jesus that are just getting sucked into this argument and fight that is meaningless. And in order to prove a point, they've lost their sense of Christianity. They're getting just as ugly as the other person. They fight evil with evil. Again, I hope you know this. I'm not saying that we don't ever speak our minds. Of course we do. But it's the way we do it. Third and finally, I want to address this. What about somebody that does you wrong? What about somebody in your life that actually has harmed you? That actually has said something that is quite offensive that hurts you and your family? Or somebody that's done something or gone on the offensive and attacked you? Hopefully not physically, but could be, but you know, maybe with their words, with their actions. What happens if you've lost things because of your faith in Jesus? What happens if, because of your position, that you got fighting, you got things going? How do we navigate that? Again, it's a level of maturity. In Romans chapter 12, verse 19 to 21, Paul addresses this as he closes off this portion. He says it this way, and I want you just to hear these words. He says, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And to the contrary, now watch this, Because first of all, I think too many Christians have that verse backwards. They think vengeance is theirs and God's just going to back it up. Or God's just going to support them in their vengeance. No, it says vengeance is God's. And then this is what you're supposed to do, what I'm supposed to do. It says, to the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. By the way, it doesn't mean you poison him, by the way. Some of you are like, I'll feed him with my wife's cooking. That will really show him. Okay, that's not what that's talking about. Feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. This next verse is extremely true. It works every time I do this. When you respond evil with kindness and evil with good, what you do, it says that you are heaping burning coals on their heads because all they want to do is fight. Those of you that are married, you know this. If your spouse comes in and they want to fight and all you do is say, hey, let's just hug it out. Come on. I love you. I'm sorry. No, I want to fight. You know, they're like, no, let's just get. I mean, what does it do? It just it infuriates them even more. Anybody with me on that? You see that? Now imagine if that was your enemy. That person that is just vile toward you. That person that posted something about you or posted something about what you believe. That person that said something to you at the workplace. Maybe another believer. And you respond with kindness and gentleness. Verse 21, it says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with what? Good. Overcome evil with good. So, share your posts. Share your opinions. Share your life. But do it in a way that is marked by a mature believer in Jesus. And that unites us. See, again, this table, by the way, it's open for anybody, by the way. In a whole different passage of scripture, Jesus uses an analogy, uses a story about a great banquet and a great feast. In heaven, it speaks of a feast, a banquet table that all sit at. This table mentality is a very common thought because it's at this table, at one table, is where you and I have been invited to. Jesus didn't invite you to a whole lot of different kingdom tables. It's one table. But at this table, is all of us. I mean, just look around this room. Right? Just take a look. First of all, it's a good-looking room. Secondly, it's a diverse room, not just skin color, but diverse in every way. Politically, financially, education, on and on. I mean, it's diverse. But that's what makes it beautiful. And at this table is where we find unity. It's where we find healing, and it's where we find the strength to go into the world. I want to encourage you, because right now, there are some of you right now, you're not at this table. Let's just call it what it is. You're not at this table. And you're not here maybe because you've gotten so offended, or you're so opinionated over something, or maybe it's because you don't know Jesus at all. All are welcome back to this table and to this table for the first time. And nobody's better and nobody's worse. But it requires maturity to sit at this table. Some of you need to go get your chair, and instead of sitting in an offense and sitting in fear and anger or hate or sitting in theological divide or whatever and drag your table and leave your pride and your ego here and drag your chair back to the table and sit at this table and grow with us and heal with us and help us reach our world for Jesus at this table. Amen, church. So I'm going to close with this. I want to close and I want to pray over us. And I encourage you, go back and listen if you missed anything. It's online. And again, it's just walking through Romans 12 of what it says we should live our life. And again, as your pastor, I'm calling us to one table. It's okay to be different. It's okay to not be the same. Because what unites us is Jesus. What unites us is His Word. And we stand in that truth and under His banner. And then it's beautiful. Then our diversity is actually beautiful. And for some, maybe it requires you to forgive. For some, maybe it's you have to ask for forgiveness. For others of you, maybe it's just the reality that out of all those listings, you're doing pretty well in certain things and not real good in other things. Beginning, I just prayed that the Holy Spirit would just convict where He needs to convict. It's not my job to do that. I got my own stuff I'm working on. It's not my job to convict you or judge your heart at all. And I'm not. But I pray the Holy Spirit does. And where the Holy Spirit needs to convict, I pray now He convicts. Where He needs to heal, I pray that He heals. And where He needs to encourage, I pray He encourages. So with that, would you stand to your feet real quickly this morning? I'm going to pray for us, and then Pastor Daniel's going to come and just give us a few instructions. And I hope, whether you're here in person or online, I hope that you will sit at this table with us. I hope for our purposes here at Crossroads that you will sit at this table within the context of who we are, and that you will help us beyond mission of all we're trying to do this year. Because I'm just here to tell you, we need you. We need every single one of you. And I'm not talking about just being here in the building and serving. That's part of it. We need you in the world, fulfilling the commission under the power of the Holy Spirit and reaching people that are lost and broken. Because there's a lot of them.
Well, again, I want to thank you so much for listening to episode 1 of season 2 of Crossroads Connection. Make sure you join us again next week as we drop episode 2 of Crossroads Connection. Again, thank you for joining us. Make sure you subscribe, like, share, comment. You know how to do it. So just go ahead and do all that for us. And thank you again for listening to episode 1. I look forward to having you join me again next week for episode 2.